Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
The danger for reporters in the current conflict in Syria and the war in Afghanistan makes the latest novel from NBC's longtime foreign correspondent Martin Fletcher, both a story about current trials in the deadly game of telling the story from conflict zones, and a throwback story to the days when television network news dominated global reporting of wars and disasters. Fletcher's The War Reporter tells the story of Tom Lane, a television correspondent whose life, as is often the case for fearless journalists, is falling apart while reporting from Sarajevo in the 1990s. Tom Lane tries to put his life back together in a partially true, partially fictional yarn about the search for Ratko Mladic, the Serbian butcher and the patriot accused of directing war crimes carried out by the Bosnian Serbs. Martin Fletcher says his need to tell this story is partly because the opportunities for old-style reporting have diminished these days, and novel writing fills the gap, but more because the story was deeply personal.
First of all, Tom Lane, as a television correspondent, being obsessed with being at the center of things, so am I. I think all journalists are, because that's where the heart of the story is, at the center of things. So I think that's very common. But in the book, you know, he experiences a terrible tragedy, and his obsession then becomes living with that tragedy, how to overcome it, how to beat post-traumatic stress, which is actually pretty common among people who cover wars. So that will be his challenge to overcome.
And to do it, he thinks he's going to write a documentary or shoot a documentary about Vlatko Mladic in Bosnia that's going to find him, in a sense, bring him to justice on some level and possibly make up for the loss of his friend Nick and the rape of the woman he loves at the hands of Serbian thugs, basically. It's a failed attempt to redeem himself. But it's a common thing that journalists have with them, this documentary that they're going to make that's going to save the world.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we all want to write the book, make the documentary, make a difference. But actually, I saw him as a metaphor, him and Nina as a metaphor for the bigger picture, which was that the Bosnian wars, after the breakup of Yugoslavia, Bosnia, Croatia, Serbia, Kosovo, these wars had a terrific impact on Europe. So many lives were lost and ruined and refugees created. I felt that, okay, so I'm telling the story about the journalists, but they're telling their story is also the wider story of how do you make up for the death of your friend, for the destruction of your family and of your love. He wanted to make a documentary about Ratko Mladic, who actually was the biggest killer in Europe since Hitler. You know, the Srebrenica massacre, 8,000-9,000 men and boys were massacred by his people.
Do you think a deal was made between the Croats and the Serbs to clear out the area that Srebrenica found itself in, to kind of ethnically cleanse in their own way those territories?
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing, because when I did the research for the book, I went to Belgrade and I spent a few weeks there and I went back and forwards. And I was doing the research as a journalist for my fictional character, Tom Lane. And what I came up with, and this was presented to me by several people, including a colonel in a private military research institute in Belgrade, who said there had to have been a deal, because in Srebrenica, when the United Nations troops failed to protect the Bosnian Muslims under their control, that was only part of the story. Right before that happened, right before the Serbs went in and massacred them, the Muslim army withdrew from Srebrenica. And the question was, why? Hmm. Why did they do that? And so there must have been a deal. And in my book, I enumerate what that deal was. Now, did they expect a massacre? They say they didn't. You must have been a real idiot not to think that there wouldn't be a massacre. The Serbs were saying for weeks and months beforehand, the quote from Mladic was, "We'll be up to our knees in blood." And so the idea that the Americans missed that, that's just not possible.
In many ways, the most powerful and current image from your book comes from that astounding opening scene of the little kid with the hare lip who can't afford to get the operation, alone in a room and no one knows what to do with him because his parents are gone. And it's an image you return to. And in many ways, it seems to me it's the image of today, the lost child that no one knows what to do with, who's sort of sitting there and is basically the seed of whatever is going to be our future in this century.
Yeah, well, you know what? I didn't think of that when I wrote that part of the book, but it's certainly true what you say. But actually, when I began to write that part of the book, that was based completely on my own experience.
Mm.
I had met this boy, a boy like this, a four-year-old child with a hair lip, whose parents actually dropped him off in the hospital in Sarajevo the day the siege began. They dropped him off in the hospital. They went home, and then the siege began. They couldn't come back. So he'd been in the hospital for 2 years alone by the time I met him. And when I asked the nurse, who's this kid? So they said, well, we don't know. We don't know his name. And he's just been here for longer than we have. And we don't know who his parents are. And he was a pretty neglected child. And that really touched me as a journalist when I was there and when I met him in Sarajevo. And it stayed with me. And I always knew I was going to write a book about this kid or that would begin with this. As Tom Lane does in the book, I went to visit this kid for 10 days. I bought him a little red guitar. And I bought a whole case of batteries to give this kid. And I gave it to a nurse and said, please give it to the boy so he can continue playing his little electrical guitar. And I went back the next day. All the batteries were gone.
Hmm.
You know, Sarajevo under siege, they have more important things to do with batteries. But it was pretty sad.
Yeah. You give a shout out to Jim Aceta in the book, your colleague at NBC, who's a foreign correspondent, who's still doing the work. We've also lost Marie Colvin in Syria and Bob Simon of CBS in a tragic traffic accident. Comment on the characters that you refer to in this book, the ones that you've known. I know you know both of those people. And what the end of these characters means for journalism.
I think, you know, in my career, I know at least six close friends who've been killed while working as journalists. And I know a few dozen who are not such close friends. So it's a dangerous business covering wars, obviously, as a journalist. But I think it's not really fair, though, I think, to say that, you know, the golden age is over and people don't do that kind of work anymore. They do. But there's so many constraints now imposed by the networks on their staff to stay safe that what they do is different. I mean, I'll give you an example. This is going back a bit, but when the Soviets invaded Afghanistan, for NBC, I went to Pakistan. I met up with a group of Mujahideen, and I walked over the Hindu Kush Mountains with them, and I was by myself. There was no bodyguard. It was just me with my camera. They'd never let that happen today, but the kind of reporting I was able to do, mm-hmm. spending 3 weeks walking with these you know, band of fighters against the Russians, was pretty deep reporting. I mean, it was a real thing. I don't think you can do that today because it's just become so dangerous. The flow of information suffers. And I think another point is that today, whereas we used to go out and find the story of the day, today very often there's so many people involved in what you're going to do that day, from the editors to the producers, the different shows, we want this, we want that. They kind of tell the reporter what to do. And I think that's an important change. In the days of allowing the reporter to go off by himself in Sudan, Afghanistan, anywhere, Rwanda, Somalia, and come back with the story. It's quite rare today. And, of course, there's much less coverage of foreign news.
His new novel is The War Reporter. Martin Fletcher is a former NBC News Tel Aviv bureau chief and special correspondent for PBS. Martin, thanks so much.
Thank you.